What is it that you are listening to lately? What is it that's in your ears all the time? What plays on your radio when you get into the car? What is it, the playlist that you have playing all the time? What kind of voices do you have that you are listening to? Are they voices that make you feel better about yourselves? Are they voices that inspire you to follow God? Are they voices that help you to see that you are royal? My name is Keith Alcom. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we continue in our series, Royals. We've been looking at royalty in England and how some of the way those kings and queens relate to our kings and queens in the Bible. In the first week, we talked about Bonnie Prince Charlie, Charles III, who was just coronated a couple of weeks ago here, and how that related to the anointing of David, and how David was anointed to be king because of his heart. Last week we talked about Queen Esther and how she was an accidental queen, just like or not unlike Queen Elizabeth II, who became a queen at the ripe old age of 25, and how as the accidental queens, they were in a place for such a time as this, as you are too. Next week, we'll talk about Solomon and how that equates to King George V. And this week, we're talking about King Saul, the first king of Israel, and how that relates to King George VI. Now, I have a hunch that you know more about Saul than you do about King George VI. So let me tell you a few things about King George VI, or Bertie, as he was originally called, Albert, the second child of George V. And Mary, and those two had two sons. They had two sons. They had their first son, Edward, was the first betrothed to the throne, and then the second one, of course, Bertie or Albert, was not going to receive the throne. Now, he knew that. Albert knew all his life that he was probably not going to inherit the throne because of his first son, the first son, Edward. Edward inherited the throne in 1935, and because things weren't going so well, because he was marrying somebody and nobody really liked him anyway, he abdicated the throne, which is a massive royal word for, I give up. I'm done. I don't want this royal thing. I don't want to be king. Over to you, Bertie. 1936, Bertie inherited the throne and became King George VI. He took on the name George because he wanted to reinstall some hope in the monarchy after the year of nightmare that they'd had with Edward. So King George VI rises to the throne. They called him the unexpected king. He never thought he was going to be king. We find out that actually he was treated poorly by his mother and father. Apparently, his father was a tyrant. He was born left-handed, and they made him write with his right hand. They put braces on his knees because he had knocked knees, and always he was treated like the second child. He was belittled, and so never thought he was going to ascend to the throne, and because he was so insecure about who he was, he had a speech impediment and couldn't speak. He was the King of England, and he couldn't speak. His mother and father had made him feel lesser. Surprisingly, King George VI went on to be the person whom everybody looked to. 1936, 3 years later, was the Second World War, and England declaring war on Germany. And this man stayed in the palace with his wife in the palace, and it was bombed 9 times. We wouldn't do that today. We'd have them taken away if there was any sort of threat kind of thing with our president and whoever's in authority. Normally they're whisked away. He stayed in the palace while it was bombed 9 times. He visited people who were injured during the bombings and during the nightly bombings on London, and he won the hearts of the British people back during the war years in World War II. Not only did he win the hearts, he also worked with a speech therapist, got over his insecurities, and was to give one of the biggest speeches ever to inspire Great Britain to go to war with Germany. And this is covered, by the way, in a movie called The King's Speech. If you haven't seen that, go see it. It's really, really interesting. But he overcomes this fear of speaking. He speaks with a therapist and gives the most inspiring broadcast speech to inspire people to go to war with Germany. He listened to a different voice. There was lots of other voices going on in his head. There was lots of other people that were telling him things. There was the voice of his father and mother, and yet he was able to listen to a voice that was going to give him a voice himself. What voices do you listen to? Are they voices that make you feel better about yourself? Are they voices that inspire you to follow what God has for your life? Are they voices that make you feel like you are royal? King George was the unexpected king. King Saul in the Bible was also the unexpected king. Israel had been begging God for a king. Israel had been begging that since the whole judges thing didn't really work out, they asked, could we have a king to rule Israel once again and return us to the nation that we really want to be? And Samuel, the prophet, was listening. Samuel, the person of wisdom, was listening to God and looking for a person whose heart was in the right place. And so here follows the story of Saul. And you're going to love this story. You're going to think it's not even in the Bible, but it is. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles with you, go there. If you've got them on your phone, type that in. 1 Samuel chapter 9. That's where we are. This is the story of Saul. Saul was the son of Kish. He was a Benjamite. He was somebody that didn't think too much of himself. And through some random events, he gets anointed. His dad said to him, "Son, I've lost my 3 donkeys. Take your servant and go find my 3 donkeys. That's something random your father would say to you, right? Go and do this random thing. Go and find my donkeys." So they searched all over the land where he lived. And as they were searching, the servant turns to Saul and says to him, "Why don't we ask the seer where the donkeys are? Why don't we go see the seer?" Now, the seer was another word for a prophet. And the prophet back in the day knew everything. Of course, there was no Google and no Siri. Yeah, you couldn't just ask these things, "Hey, Siri, tell me where my donkeys are." No, you had to go see a person. So you go see this prophet. Now, prophets knew why God was sending the rain or why God was not sending the rain, and they would give a word of wisdom why that wasn't happening. They would also know that, "I know where your donkeys are." So this is the guy you go see. So the servant said, "Why don't we go see this seer?" So they travel to, so he listens to the advice of the servant. And he says, "Well, I haven't got any money." He says, "I got a silver shekel." Apparently, it was a tradition where if you went to see the prophet, you gave a gift, and then he would give you a piece of wisdom. And so he says, "Well, I've only got a silver coin." He says, "Well, let's try that." So they adapted. He took some advice. He adapted. So he listened to his servant. And then Saul took some action. He says, okay, let's do it. It actually says that in chapter 9. Let's do it. Let's go. So they go to the next town. And on the way to the town, whilst they're looking for the seer, on the way there, they see some teenagers coming down the mountain, some teenage girls. They're coming down from the mountain. And Saul says, hey, girls, have you seen the seer? Have you seen the seer anywhere? With, you know, the prophet, the one who gives us wisdom? And they say, yeah, you'll see him soon. He's coming down to the gate. They're coming down. You'll see him at the gate. You'll probably bump into him here. They're like, okay, we'll go down. So there was advice. He took his advice of his servant. He adapted and he acted. And then he asked. He asked for wisdom from these teenage girls. And they tell him where he is. So as they're walking into this town, Saul bumps into somebody. He bumps into this guy and he says to him, hey, do you know where the seer is? Do you know where the prophet is? Because I've got something to ask you. So I'm going to pick up the Bible so you don't think I'm lying to you. 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where this story is. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. He says, is the seer here today? So they entered the town, and as they passed through the gates, Samuel was coming out towards them to go to the place of worship. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I've looked down on my people in mercy, and I've heard their cry. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Now look back to verse 1. It says, his son Saul was the most handsomest man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. So he's a good looking guy. He says, that's him. That's him. Go anoint him. So Samuel was listening to God and listening where the king would come from. And he said, that's him. Immediately he says to him, go up to the mountain. He says, can you tell me where he is? It's me. He says, well, go up to the mountain, go there, and I'll tell you what you want to know. Don't worry, by the way, about these donkeys. Now, here's the critical verse I'm going to put on the screen for you. Verse 20, don't worry about those donkeys that they were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. Other half of the verse. Oh, and by the way, BTW, I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. What? I'm just here looking for donkeys. I'm just like, I just came to you looking for donkeys. And, you know, I know Israel's looking for a king and all that, but I wasn't expecting me to be like called the king of Israel. All the hopes of Israel are landing on me. What do you mean? Look at his response. I'm only from the tribe. This is verse 21. I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like this to me? What does he say? I'm from a little tribe. I'm from this little tribe called Benjamin. Apparently, the tribe of Benjamin lived by the sword and, of course, died by the sword. And they were getting smaller and smaller because they'd always put the tribe of Benjamin ahead of the rest of the tribes because they would fight for Israel. They were the smallest tribe, and also Saul's family was the least family in the tribe. So he had a lot of family background. He had a lot of stuff he hadn't dealt with yet. He had a lot of voices in his head that he was listening to that he didn't need to listen to. He says, I'm the least important in all of the families. He probably stammers. He probably, what do you mean? Basically, Saul said to Samuel when he said that you are going to be the hope of Israel, he said to him, what? Me? King of England? King of Israel? Me? Maybe you come from a family that has a last name that you have a hard time with. Maybe there's some family background that you're still dealing with. Maybe there's some oppression, some things that people are saying to you that you still keep playing in your head. Maybe you're listening to voices, sometimes not even audible, that do not lead you to a place where you can experience God. Maybe you keep saying to yourself, surely not me. King George, as the person, was listening to some voices that were not good for him. Sadly, his own father's voice was no good for him. Sadly, the oppression he had as a child, being made to write with his right hand, being put in braces on his legs, and worst of all of this making him have a speech impediment. Sadly, this is the kind of voices that he was listening to that had given him his insecurities. And so when he was elevated to the throne, and when the authorities told him, you're going to take the throne of England, he said, just like Saul, what? Me? God speaks to each and every one of us today and says, no matter what voices you are hearing, no matter your family background, no matter what others have said to you, you can be royalty too. You can be the kind of people that experience the same thing that Saul did. You can be the kind of people that experience the same kind of thing that King George did. Second in line to the throne, never expectant to take the royal throne. Often when people come to church, I haven't seen them for a while. Either I haven't seen them for a while, or they say to me, oh, I used to come here 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I haven't been, and it's nice to meet you. What's your name? And they say, I was expecting when I walked in here to see a lightning strike come on me. Have you heard people say that? Oh, no, I haven't been here for so long. I was expecting God to strike me down. And I say to them, on the contrary, au contraire, it's God is so excited to see you today. God is so excited that you want to worship, that you want to be in his community, that you want to be in the place and in the sanctuary where he wants to meet with you. He's like, oh, come on back. Come on back. I want to show you the goodness of God. I want to show you how much he loves you. I want to show you that you're royalty. That's God's words. They're literally what God would say to each and every one of you today. Come on in. Experience the royal presence. Saul goes up to worship God, to worship Yahweh. He says, go up there. I'll be up in a minute with you, says Samuel. I'm going to eat with you. And lo and behold, he set a place for him, the special place, the place of honor for this guy. He sets him a place and says, you sit there. In fact, you're going to have the best piece of meat that's normally set aside for the priests. You're going to be elevated to this place. And then we'll go back down. We'll send your servant off. We're in verse 26. At daybreak the next morning, Samuel calls to Saul, get up. He set a place for him. He had a room for him, had an upper room for him, and set a bedroom for him so that he could sleep and sleep well. Next morning, he wakes him up with some avocado toast and a nice cappuccino and says to him, I got a special message for you. Verse 27, I got a special message for you. Stay here, but I've received a special message from God. They're on the outside of town, Samuel and Saul. And the same thing he used to anoint David, he uses to anoint Saul. And he says to him, now you're anointed, you're going to be the king. And there's some other weird random stuff that goes on, the same kind of random stuff where he experienced Samuel. Is some other crazy stuff that goes on in chapter 10. And then he says to him in verse 7, listen to this. After these signs take place, do what must be done. And what does it say? For God is with you. God is with you. After this, the presence of God fills his heart. And it says he totally changed, his heart changed. And this means that no matter he was a Benjamite, no matter that his family was, that he felt like his family was nothing, that the voices in his head were telling him something, he knew that he was anointed and the presence of God filled his heart and told him that he was royalty. It says, and he was changed from that moment on. And people started saying things like, what? Is even Saul a prophet? The guy from the tribe of Benjamin? And this is the overarching premise of the whole Bible, is that people, no matter what background, what family line, what voices are going on in their head, is that anybody can be a follower and a prophet of God, amen? No matter what background you have, no matter what family you have, no matter what voices keep digging you in the head that tell you you're nothing, that you're a Benjamite, that you're insecure because your father, the way he treated you in the tribe of Windsor, no matter what tribe that you are in, God is with you. One person agrees with me. No matter what tribe you're in, no matter what family you're in, no matter what background you had, believe God is with you. How did the son of Kish become a prophet? How did that family line get that blessing? Can anyone be royalty? Can somebody from the tribe of Benjamin be royalty? Can somebody from the house of Windsor be royalty with insecurities that he still hasn't addressed yet? Can anybody from the tribe of, insert your tribe here, be royalty? The answer is yes. The answer is yes and amen. God wants you to know that you are royalty. You are royalty, and notice why Saul found out he was royalty. He listened. He listened to his servant. He listened to teenage girls who told him where the prophet was. He listened to the prophet who said, hey, go up and worship God. And after that, you're going to be anointed and the power of the Holy God is going to fill you and it's going to change your life. And you're going to be anointed to be the king because he listened. Listen to God. And I have an action point for you this week, this Memorial Sunday. People's relationship with God boils up when we have an action to do. It's both God's grace and an action that we do. I want you this week to listen to a godly voice. Listen to somebody that helps you understand how royal you are. There's lots of different voices out there. Lots of different people telling you things that you're not royal. Listen to some godly voices. Listen to Andy Stanley, basically the pastor of America, who's got millions of podcasts out there. Listen to him. Listen to Sandy Richter. She's one of my favorite Old Testament professors out of Asbury. Listen to people like Dr. Brian Russell, who came here to preach for us, has got another book out. Listen to Daniel Strickland, and we'll put these on the socials as well for you to follow. Listen to Richard Rohr, my favorite Catholic priest, who teaches how we can contemplate who God thinks we are. Listen. Listen to God like Saul did. Listen to God and know that you are royalty. Because even in the randomness, Saul recognized he was royalty. Listen to godly voices and you will recognize you are royalty. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you speak to us through King Saul. You speak to us through his life and how he listened to you through different people and different vessels. And we pray, Lord God, that we too would be able to listen. That we would be listening to people who encourage us, who show us how to follow and recognize that we are royalty. And we pray, Lord God, we would do this not only this week, but in the many weeks to come. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.